Today, we are going to take some time and spend it playing in the toy box, having some fun, and taking a break from the pressing issues of the day. Issues that may seem so frustrating, and they cause us to worry, they make us angry, they might make us sad, they might confuse us, but not today. Nope, no sirree, Bob. So join me today as I take a break from those worries and headaches and sometimes even heartaches, and instead join me as I escape from the realities of today, and I take a little vacation, a vacation for the mind and the soul. Let's have some fun today. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Almost Paradise in North Idaho, and I am your host, Ted Ludlum. I come to you from the quaint little town of Bonners Ferry, Idaho, about 30 miles from the Canadian border. I need a break today, a break from the serious events that seem to dominate the headlines of our country. Seriously, I could talk about so many serious things that are seemingly screaming to get my attention. I could list them, but you know what they are. And honestly, there are really too many to list. I would forget one, and that might upset somebody who felt that that was the most important issue for them. And I don't want to do that. I annoy people enough as it is. So let's focus today on some good news. And we actually have plenty of good news here in the Pacific Northwest. Yes, today I bring you a Pacific Northwest sports special episode. You know, the Bible talks about rest, not just stopping work, but finding renewal and joy and even play. The Bible says there's a time to laugh and a time to dance. And sometimes that's exactly what sports brings us. Look around the Pacific Northwest right now. The Mariners are giving us a season to remember. The Seahawks are off to a strong start. And the Oregon Ducks are flying high. And fans everywhere are celebrating together. These moments aren't just entertainment. They're reminders of God's rhythm, that life isn't only toil and stress, but also laughter, teamwork, and joy. Psalm 16 says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy." And you know what? Sometimes that joy sounds like a stadium erupting after a home run or a touchdown drive that seals the game. So maybe this week, the holiest thing you can do isn't just to rest in silence, but to cheer and to laugh and to play and to give thanks for the gift of joy that God has woven into the game. But first, a word from our sponsor. Think of all the baseball and football games coming up your way in the next few days, the next few weeks, the next few months. Games including your Seattle Mariners and your Seattle Seahawks and the Oregon Ducks and all the other teams that you love to see win or lose. And believe me, there are some teams I love to see lose. And EL Internet Northwest can make it a great viewing experience. Who wants to have their slow and unreliable internet service suddenly have a hiccup at 4th and 2 at the goal line or in the bottom of the 9th inning with the bases loaded and your team behind or perhaps ahead? Don't risk it. Call EL Internet Northwest today and relax. They have you covered. You can call today at 208-946-4147 or check out their website at elinternetnw.com. That's elinternetnorthwest.com. And again, that number is 208-926-4147. And tell them that Ted sent you. And I can assure you that since I switched to EL Internet, my service is a lot faster and it's more secure. I don't have any hiccups. I don't have any pauses. It's really nice. So give him a call today. From the roar of the 12s at Lumen Field in Seattle, to the thunder in T-Mobile Park in Seattle, to the echo of a marching band down in Eugene, Oregon, this is becoming a season to remember. Right now, it's a good time to be a sports fan in the Pacific Northwest. Today, we're going to take a break from all the bad news of the past few weeks. And for some of you, you might even say the past few years. And we're going to play in the toy box of life, the toy department, sports. I don't usually talk about sports, but once in a while, I love to talk about sports. And out of respect for my audience here in the Northwest, I am not going to be talking too much about my Kansas City Royals and the Kansas City Chiefs or the Kansas State Wildcats, even though that is where I grew up and that is where my heart is. No, I'm going to focus on your local teams. And we are going to spend some time celebrating this moment because you got a lot to celebrate. The Mariners finally are breaking through. The Seahawks are off to a hot start, and the Ducks are flying high in the national rankings. So let's just dive in for a little bit. The Seattle Mariners have done what fans have waited 24 long years to see. Are they the best-kept secret? I attended my men's Bible study group this morning, and they didn't seem to know anything about what the Mariners had done or are doing. Do you? They have won the American League West title for the first time since 2001. Yes, 2001. They finished 90-72. That was good enough for the number two seed in the American League. That means a bye in the wild card round and home field advantage in the American League Division Series, which will be starting Saturday. And this gives them a chance to rest the rotation and the bullpen. Now, some of you may not know what that means. Some of you may not care. Some of you may want to talk about all the problems of our country, but not me, not today. And there's some out there who do care, or at least they're curious about what's going on. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, of jumping on the bandwagon. Everybody loves a winner. And I have a warning for you. There is going to be some sports lingo coming up. Hopefully, you can figure it out. Also, I do not know these teams like I know my Royals and my Chiefs and my Kansas State Wildcats. So I may stumble over some details and some names. I may mispronounce some names. As I have said before, I often know just enough to be dangerous. So, those of you who do know these teams inside and out, please forgive me. At least I'm trying. The clinch moment for the Seattle Mariners was unforgettable. On September 25th, they won a game against Colorado 9-2, and that clinched the division title for them. And they were powered by Cal Raleigh's 59th and 60th home runs of the year. A catcher hitting 60 bombs. It's historic. It's unprecedented. A catcher has never hit 60 home runs in a year before. And it was the perfect exclamation point for this season. And that was just the apex. What set the run apart was the run in September. The Mariners won 15 of 16 games at one stretch, a feat previously matched only in franchise seasons that led to the postseason in 2001 and 2022. Now, I was watching this closely. The first week of September, my Royals were just one game behind the Mariners for that last playoff spot. And we were on a little bit of a mini win streak. We were surging, we were pushing, and we were catching up to the Mariners. And then all of a sudden, the Mariners took off. And the Royals, they just started playing 500 ball for the rest of the September. Meanwhile, man, the Mariners just exploded. Like I said, 15 of 16 games at one stretch. That's just pretty much historic. It's amazing. Let's put this in context. The Mariners haven't been to the postseason very often, and they've never been to the World Series. Now, I haven't done extensive, exhaustive research on this, but I believe I read that the Mariners are the only Major League Baseball team to have never been to the World Series. Think about that. That's reason enough to root for the Mariners. In fact, their only division title before this year was in 2001, when they tied the Major League Baseball record with 116 wins. I remember that season. I was living in Kansas City. I was actually rooting for the Mariners. The Royals were terrible, as usual, at that time. And the manager for the Mariners was a guy named Lou Piniella. And I loved Lou Piniella. Lou Piniella was an original member of the Kansas City Royals in 1969 when the team started playing. And he was with them for a few years in the early 70s until he was actually traded to the New York Yankees in one of the worst trades in baseball history, as far as I'm concerned. So I really liked Lou Piniella, and he was the manager for the Mariners. But the Mariners stumbled in the playoffs. They did not make much noise, and that's kind of sad. Since then, it's been a drought. It's been a lot of heartaches for Mariner fans and a lot of waiting until now. I've done some research on this team, and this is what I have learned. Cal Raleigh is your home run hitting catcher. During the season, as I said previously, he hit 60 home runs and had 125 RBIs. That is a very awesomely good season. Julio Rodriguez, he is the center fielder, and he has re-emerged as the spark plug. He has hit 32 home runs, he has 95 RBIs, and apparently he's a threat to steal bases. J.P. Crawford is the shortstop, and he provides, the word I read was steadiness. And the bullpen, it's anchored by Andreas Munoz. I hope I said that right. He has shut the door when needed, with many saves coming in the late innings, the ninth inning, the eighth inning, mostly the ninth inning, it appears, and he stops them. Now, this team is not flawless. Defense and base running can be shaky. The rotation depth after the top arms is a concern, but the power is real and the momentum is undeniable. They've got momentum. Now, what about October? What's going to happen today, as I record this, is the last day of September. And the odds makers give Seattle a real chance. Now, I'm going to give you a number, and you're going to think that's not a very good chance, but when you remember there's, various teams in the playoffs now, they're giving Seattle a 12 to 13% chance to win it all. Now, they're not favorites, but they're not pretenders either. With a bye in the first round of the playoffs and the first two games when they finally get to start playing in the playoffs are home games at T-Mobile Park, the stage is set. So, what are some of the storylines? The question is, some key questions. Can Cal Raleigh's bat stay hot and legendary? Time will tell. Can the defense hold under postseason pressure? Don't know. Will the city's 24-year wait finally lead to a World Series berth? Seattle has the tools, and they've got the crowd, and they got hope. And in October, that's all you can ask for. Cal Raleigh is the headline. His 60 home runs, monumental for any player, but especially as a catcher. He shattered franchise marks, positional norms, and suddenly he made every opponent's game plan complicated. Then there's Julio Rodriguez, who reasserted himself midseason, making the top of the order lethal again. With Julio at his best, barreling balls and running the bases aggressively, Seattle's offense becomes harder to contain. The supporting cast matters too. They weren't always stars, but they often delivered. On the mound, the rotation had its ups and downs, but it showed flashes, and the bullpen gave enough bite late. Weaknesses? Seattle's defense and balls in play metrics were unkind at times. Now, what does that mean? That means they didn't always hit the ball very well. It sounds like they struck out quite a bit. They didn't get the ball in play as often as they should have. And their defense is a little shaky, maybe. Not quite as defended, not airtight. So an opponent's extra base hits or sneaky singles and well-timed rallies, those things can punish you in October. And the Mariners are going to have to watch out for that. Also, the depth of rotation and bullpen management will be tested against stacked lineups as they get into the playoffs. If one starter falters, the margin for error shrinks fast. But when you combine power, an efficient bullpen, and the home field in the early rounds, they have a real path forward. There are possibilities. Now, what are the stakes and what are those possibilities? Because the Mariners clinched that top two seed, they skip the wild card. They don't have to start playing until Saturday. The other teams are playing today, Tuesday, and will have to play a best 2 out of 3 series to determine who plays Seattle on Saturday. That gives the Mariners 5 days off before their first pitch. And yes, while other teams are now playing, the Mariners don't have to play. Home field in games 1 and 2 gives them control. It sets the tone early, and the rest should flow more favorably for the Mariners. As for odds, again, Seattle is getting love from odds makers, and the projections are looking pretty promising. In many models, they set among the top title chances in baseball. One sportsbook lists them as tied with the Dodgers at plus 500 for the World Series, and another has them at plus 185 to win the American League pennant. Their home record of 48-27 gives them a real edge, especially in pressure situations. But let's map some possible scenarios. If they win the division series, which starts Saturday, they'll likely face a really tough team in the championship series. Now, who are the other teams that are in the playoffs and starting to play now? There's the New York Yankees, and we all know about the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, the Detroit Tigers, and the Cleveland, and I'm going to say it, the Cleveland Indians. I know, politically correct, they changed their name to another name, but I refuse to bend my knee. They are the Cleveland Indians to me and always will be. Sorry. But anyway, I digress. The Mariners will need depth, bullpen relief, and strong performances from their stars. If they lose game one at home, that's a dangerous slip. Now, a 2-0 start is gold because in that series, you got to get off to a good start. And if they get off to a 2-0 start, even a 1-1 tie in the first two games is manageable. Matchups matter. Opponents who can neutralize power and force contact will pressure Seattle's defensive edges. Conversely, teams vulnerable to the long ball or favorable matchups. Momentum versus rust. Now, there's a question. A 5-day rest, which is what the Mariners have right now, it helps their arms heal, but it can dull their timing, and it just can make them rusty. Teams always debate this. Is it better to have a few days off, or is it better to just keep playing? Well, they got a few days off, which is definitely good for pitching staff, and the bullpen if they, you know, some players that may have some aches and pains, they can heal up. So hopefully the pluses will outweigh the minuses. Big innings from Raleigh and Julio could swing a game, but if the arms of the pitching staff are taxed, or if the catcher is fatigued, other players get tired, leaks could appear. In short, Seattle is not a dark horse, meaning they're not a big underdog. They're a challenger with a real shot, especially if they guard against mishaps and pick their spots. So there you have it. It's a 24-year wait that has ended. A season built on muscle and momentum and a postseason now a reality. The Mariners are no longer underdogs. They have a legitimate claim, but October asks questions beyond power. What about consistency? What about matchups? What about depth? What about nerves? They certainly don't want to choke. So, I'm not a big Seattle Mariner follower, but apparently they had a big run in 1995, which some baseball historians say saved baseball in Seattle. And 2001 proved how high the ceiling could be when they won all those games. And 2025 is about outcome, turning a great regular season and a historic catcher's year into 4 wins in the division series, 4 wins in the championship series, and then 4 wins in the World Series. That math is simple, but the margins are not. But this version of the Mariners has enough thunder in the lineup and enough swing and miss from the pitchers to make that final step feel plausible. Not just possible. They have momentum. They have health. They have confidence. Everything is lined. Everything is in place. Still, they'll need more than confidence to go deep. Now, here are some questions for you Mariner fans out there. And I know there's Mariner fans out there. It's just not as passionate as I think it ought to be. But, you know, I'm a baseball and sports nut. So I'm a little bit odd, I guess, in that regard. But there's some of you out there. So I got some questions for you. Where were you when Cal Raleigh hit the home run number 60? Where were you? I ask that because baseball is like a family inheritance. One generation hands the magic moment to the next. That's how a team becomes more than a team. For example, I remember listening to the Royals' first baseball game ever in 1969 with my dad, with a transistor radio. And the Royals won the game in extra innings. I remember that like it was yesterday. I remember when George Brett hit the home run in the playoffs that sent the Royals to their first World Series in 1980. I remember that. I remember the 2014 World Series, watching the game with my son and his friends on a fishing trip in a hotel room in Galveston, Texas. I remember watching them the next year when they won the World Series in 2015, and I was with Joy and friends during our watch party when Eric Hosmer stole home from third base. These are great memories, and I have more. I won't bore you with them. But they're shared with family and friends. So where were you when Raleigh hit that big 60th home run? A story you can remember and share for the rest of your life. Question number 2. Who is your Mariners' most valuable player this season? Is it Raleigh? Is it Julio? Or is it someone else? Now, some would say Raleigh with 60 home runs from a catcher is unheard of, And that's not just team MVP, that's baseball history. And that makes all the sense to me. But there are others who may not get headlines, but they're steady and they're producers. And another question is, who will get, if they make it and win the World Series, who do you think would be the most valuable player in the World Series for the Mariners? You never know who's going to get hot. You never know who's going to emerge, maybe off the bench and just suddenly take off, and it's just a shock to everybody what happens. Or, yeah, that's just, you just never know. So who do you think is the Mariners' most valuable player this season? Question number three. The big October question. Will the bats get hot and stay hot? Or will the pitching hold up? Will the batters go into a slump? Will the pitchers suddenly have trouble finding the strike zone? You just never know. And what's more important, the bats or the pitching? Which is more important? Some would say pitching is more important. You can't slug your way through every postseason series. Someone beyond the top two starters has to step up. And honestly, I don't know the starting rotation or the pitchers of the Mariners that well. I actually think that the bats cooling off is more dangerous. The Mariners' offense carried them in September, and if that stalls, I don't think the pitching can save the Mariners. They got to stay hot with their bats. But that's the tension, you know? October baseball magnifies every weakness. If the bats go cold, it's painful. But if the pitching cracks, that is usually fatal. Which side blinks first may decide the American League Division Series and who goes on to eventually play in the World Series. So those are my thoughts from an outsider looking in, not a passionate Mariners fan. But I'm going to be watching. I'm going to watch every one of their games. I could become a Mariners fan. Because they play so many games so quickly, if you don't know the players at the start, you're going to get to know them by game three or four. You're going to know them. You're going to see their faces. You're going to remember them. Things are going to happen. Some player is going to make a diving catch that's unbelievable. Some player is going to do something magical. Some player that you may never have heard of suddenly hits two or three home runs in one game, and you're going, whoa, who's this guy? And it just becomes a legend and a point of reference. And the magic can be so real, so tangible, and you really become a fan. Postseason baseball is not the same as regular season baseball. Those of you who sit there and you go, baseball's boring. Postseason baseball is extremely exciting. Can be extremely exciting. I'll say that. The crowd is really involved. The stadium is electric. It's loud. And every batter, every pitch, every inning is important in postseason baseball. So I give you, jump on the bandwagon. Watch the game Saturday and Sunday. Start to get to know the players. Give it a chance. Maybe you're not a Mariners fan. Maybe you're from New York. There's a lot of New York Yankee fans all over the United States. And you know postseason baseball. You're used to it. All these other teams have been in the postseason and have been in World Series before. The Mariners have never been in the World Series. Wouldn't that be a great story? So give it a shot. Now, maybe you just can't get past the fact that it's baseball and your deal is football. Okay, let's walk across the city of Seattle to Lumen Field. And there are the Seattle Seahawks. They are off to a 3-1 start, and they're tied for first in the NFC West. Now, it hasn't been perfect for them, but it's been promising. Week one was a gut-punch loss to San Francisco, 17-13, ending on a goal-line fumble. But since then, Seattle has rattled off three straight wins. They had a convincing 31-17 win over Pittsburgh, a 44-13 blowout over New Orleans, and yes, New Orleans is not very good this year. And most recently, there was a nail-biter in Arizona, sealed by Jason Myers' 52-yard field goal as time expired. The defense looks rejuvenated, and through 3 weeks, they have held opponents to 17, 17, and 13 points, numbers that have not been seen in the Seattle area since the Legion of Doom era. Sam Darnold has been the surprise. He's had a steady hand at quarterback. He's not flashy. He's certainly no Patrick Mahomes. Sorry, I had to throw that in. But he's been efficient. 242 yards, a touchdown, and no picks in the Arizona game. Yes, there's concerns. They've had some turnovers. They've got some depth issues. Now, there's a question whether this team can consistently beat elite opponents. But they are 3-1 in this division, and that's no small feat. So they're headed in the right direction. So what's next? Well, they're going to have division games against the 49ers and the Rams, and that will be a big major measuring stick. If Seattle goes into midseason at 7-3 or better, the playoffs aren't just possible, they're probable. And once again, it's hope, it's momentum, it's a belief that the Seahawks aren't just rebuilding, they're actually building something real. I've never been a big Seattle Seahawks fan. I'm sorry, I just love the Kansas City Chiefs. But they're not in the same conference, and I'd love to see the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. I'd love to see the Chiefs beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. So, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Now, let's head down Interstate 5, where the college game is lighting it up. The Oregon Ducks, they are soaring. They are ranked number 2 in the nation in college football. They are sitting at 5-0, and already with a season-defining win over Penn State in double overtime last weekend. If you didn't watch that game, you missed a game. You know, all these games now are recorded and saved on YouTube. You want to watch a great game or just the second half of that game? I'd encourage you to go to YouTube and check that out. That was an amazing game. And there was an interesting sidelight to that game. Oregon is Charlie Kirk's favorite team. Or I guess I should say, it was Charlie Kirk's favorite team. Turning Point USA gave away thousands of t-shirts. And it was a replica or the same t-shirt that he was wearing when he was assassinated. It was a white t-shirt with the word freedom printed on the front. And they were giving away thousands of those shirts. The stadium at Penn State was packed with people wearing this white t-shirt in memory of Charlie. And this game just was incredible. And the view, the scene of all those white t-shirts in the stadium was very, very moving. Quarterback Dante Moore for Oregon is blossoming into a national star. He's accurate. He's calm under pressure. And he delivered the game-winning strike against Penn State again in overtime. They have a running back named Noah Whittington. He anchors a balanced ground attack. And while the Ducks defense has been stout against the run and opportunistic in forcing turnovers, they really seem to complement the offense well. Their style is modern, fast, and balanced. They've had games where rushing and passing yards were nearly identical. It's about as balanced as you can get, and the defense hates that. That kind of versatility makes them dangerous. But the road is long. This is only Oregon's second season in the Big Ten. The grind of bigger opponents, deeper rosters, and long road trips will test them. Depth and health could determine if they're still flying high in December. Still, Ducks fans, your team is in the national conversation. The playoff picture isn't just a dream, it's a possibility. And with the Mariners and Seahawks both winning, Eugene, Oregon joins Seattle in making the Northwest the most exciting corner of the country for sports right now. So, here we are. The Mariners breaking droughts, the Seahawks off to a hot start, and the Ducks flying high toward the playoffs. It's rare that all three line up like this. For years, Pacific Northwest fans have had to live on maybe next year. But this year? Right now? The Mariners are division champs. The Seahawks are contenders. And the Ducks are knocking on the door of a national title. This fall, the Pacific Northwest is the place to be. And if you're a sports fan here, you know it feels good to finally say it. It's a good time to be a sports fan in the Northwest. It's a wonderful thing. Three different teams, three different sports, all giving Northwest fans reason to believe it at the same time. If you're a sports fan here, you're not just watching games, you're watching a moment, a season, where hope feels justified. Enjoy it. Because right now, in Eugene and in Seattle, and across the whole Pacific Northwest, again, it's a good time to be a sports fan. You know, when we think about rest, R-E-S-T, rest, in the Bible, we often picture stillness, Sabbath candles, quiet prayer, putting the phone down. And that's absolutely part of it. But God's idea of rest is bigger than just stopping work. It's about renewal, celebration, even movement. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. God built rhythm into life. Work and rest, labor and play, sweat and joy. Think about children. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me," in Matthew 19:14. What do kids do best? They play, they run, they laugh. They invent games no one understands. And when you watch them, you catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God. Not stressed out, but free. Play is not wasted time. It's God's way of teaching us to enjoy the gifts that He has given us. And for us adults, play often looks like sports. Paul used athletic language because he knew it resonated. Run in such a way as to get the prize, 1 Corinthians 9:24. He talked about discipline, teamwork, endurance, all things athletes know well. But Paul also understood training seasons and off seasons. Even the best players need to recover, to heal, to step back and regain strength. That pause is not weakness, it's wisdom, it's trust. Right here in the Pacific Northwest, we're living it. Yes, the Mariners have finally given us a season to celebrate. The Seahawks are off to a strong start. The Oregon Ducks are pushing for the college football playoffs. We can feel the excitement in the air. Stadiums are buzzing, living rooms are cheering, kids wearing jerseys bigger than they are. These aren't just games. They're moments of shared joy. They're a chance to lay aside the headlines, the bills, the deadlines, and simply delight in something together. And here's the secret. That delight is holy. Psalm 16:11 says, "In your presence there is fullness of joy." Notice it doesn't say only in silence or only in church. God's presence shows up in our stillness and in our celebration. In the backyard when you toss the ball, in the bleachers when you high-five a stranger, in the living room when the winning run crosses the plate. So as you watch the Mariners chase history, or the Seahawks push forward, or the Ducks throw the ball deep, remember, you're not just being entertained. You're practicing a biblical rhythm. Work and rest. Discipline and play. Stress and release. Sometimes the holiest thing you can do is cheer, laugh, and be fully present. Because that too is a way of saying, God, I trust you. My life isn't just toil. It's joy in your hands. And in that joy, whether you're at the ballpark or on the couch, your soul takes a Sabbath. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good week. And good luck to all the teams in the area. And may God bless.